I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1 as we leave our regular series. For something we don't normally do, and that is leave what we normally do for a Hallmark holiday. But we have decided long ago that even Hallmark holidays occasionally bring to our attention things that we don't teach often enough. And so we stop our series and we talk a little bit about this wonderful thing that God has created, the family. I don't know if you've ever had this experience. I've had it various times, but I had it very much powerfully several years ago when I was walking happily through a neighborhood or a yard and a bird decided to buzz me. You know, birds are usually afraid of me. All this chit-chat about them being evolved dinosaurs, I don't know about that. Dinosaur wouldn't be afraid of just one old white-haired man, would they? But as I was walking, a bird buzzed me, and I thought, well, that's interesting. That doesn't happen every day. And then the bird came back. And then the bird came back again and got closer this time and started squawking and making noise. She was making quite a racket, and you know why I call her she, don't you? Because I finally figured out what she was. She was a mama. And I had strayed, unbeknownst to me, dangerously close to a nest. I don't know where the babies were. I listened, and in that particular occasion, I actually did hear a little tweeting, and I had apparently got within earshot of those baby chicks. Well, that's what mamas do, and I must say that I've even thought about that as being one of those things that mamas do. But mamas in the human world don't just do that. I think that's maybe an illustration of the way God puts a spirit of protectiveness into mamas. But sometimes I think mamas do sometimes a little too much of that in the world we live in. No, if it was a human mama, we wouldn't be worried about her buzzing past you quite like that, because a human mama is different. As I'm walking around outside, I had a cardinal mama go past me the other moment. You know, I get worried about those things. I look for Rod Taylor and Tippi Hedren, for those of you who are movie buffs, just to see if they're around. But you know, what would a human mama do? Well, you know what she would do, don't you? She'd do it differently. She would handle the whole thing differently. She would, first of all, go to her little chicks and say, you see that big, tall goomer with the white hair? He's at the top of the food chain, kids. Shush. And she would come to me and not decide to fight against me in a way in which she would lose. She would say, Mr. Thompson, if you would, be careful as you come around. We know you mean us no harm. The kids are over there. Just be careful. And she would reason with me, and she talked to her kids, and she would teach us all about it. Why? It's because she's created by God in the image of God. She's not just a bird. Mamas, you're not just birds. You're something different. You're something special. You see, you're better than birds. You're women, created in the image of God. You're mothers, called by God, by that amazing institution called the family. What we need to do today is not yell at mothers for not being good enough, and to not yell at kids for not loving their mothers enough. We'll hopefully look better at that. We'll look at the foundation of the whole thing in Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, we see an accurate picture of the creation of God. Oh, there's more debate per verse, per each verse in Genesis chapter 1 than maybe all over the Bible. But we'll avoid that by skipping right to day 6 to see the creation story in day 6 in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 26, let's talk about why mothers are different than those little birds and why it's so unusual, so special, so odd, so glorious that God has given us mothers. Hear God's word beginning in verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish and of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Well, let's give this whole creation story a slight family slant for those of you who are sticklers to keeping into the theme of what's being talked about. But I think these three points reflect what God really tells us here on this particular special day. The first thing is this. The family was created by God. The family was created by God. Look at the unusual language in verse 26. If you've studied chapter 1 of Genesis, you'll note with every day and everything that God made, he uses a different way of speaking of it. But in verse 26, he said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." He doesn't say that about the birds. He doesn't say it in a passive way. He says it in a way in which it is telling us, as one commentator said, that he's about to create the crown of all of his handiwork. Now, there are some things that don't necessarily talk about family here that we need to notice on the way by so that we can make sure we understand what it means. He says, "Let us make man in our image." What a big debate there is about that. Boy, there are seven different views on that. And if I was that kind of a theologian, we would spend the rest of our time talking about the seven views of "let us make man." There's all kinds of things out there. The royal we, they say that, you know, it's the royal we, "let us go do this." They talk about that God's deliberating with angels when he says, "Let us make man in our image." I don't like that because it's not the image of angels he makes them. He makes them in the image of himself. I agree with the Reformation principle, one I think is tried and true, that this demonstrates the plurality of God. God in relationship with himself. In verse 2, we've already seen something about the Spirit of God. We've already seen what seems to be a fatherly approach to this. This is the Trinity at work. Later on, we will see that Christ was present at the creation, and the Spirit has a role, and the Father is one who makes things. It is the Trinity that comes together and gives us the life that we have. This is a peek at the great Trinity that we know, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But getting back to what he did, he made us, and there are two things that we want to make sure we see. One is that he made us male and female. He made us male and female. You see, that's the way he made us. Two complementary beings, biologically the same, but biologically different. And at birth, we can see what we've got. We have got what God has called one or the other, male or female, made that way to come together and do what God has called us to do, that we'll see in just a few moments. You will see that when the devil strikes the world, he strikes the world at those particular roles. He's after us in the area of sexual activity and sexual roles. Great theologian and man who's written a fine commentary on Genesis 1, Kenneth Matthews, says this: "When human sexuality is distorted through neglect or abuse, the human family suffers as image bearers of God." You see, the world wants us to change around what we understand about that kind of thing. But you see, it was created this way, male and female. It's part of the blueprints. It's part of the architecture. It is the way that God created the heavens and the earth. And he created us even more powerfully in his image. That's why we're not little birds. That's why we're not just like any other mother that is out there in all of creation. You mothers are built in his image. Now, this has a multidimensional meaning. What does it mean? In verse 26, he said, "Let us make man in our image." And you understand the English language, don't you? It's not just talking about man as Adam or man as a man-man, but we're talking about mankind as it is in the English language, that English language where the masculine can talk about all of creation and all of humanity. In verse 27, he created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Say it twice. No, within two verses, he says it three times. It's extremely important. It's extremely important to grasp it. And I'm not sure that I grasp it. It's got so many layers to be born and created in God's image. It clearly means that we are to rule the earth, as we will talk about in a few moments. That is, as God rules, we ought also to be His co-rulers, His stewards under Him who rule. It means that we are literally sons of God by our creation, that we have a tendency to be as children are like to their fathers. You see, that's what we're created like. We are imitators, and God created us in His image so that we might imitate Him in what we do. In fact, being created in the image of God means that we reflect many of His attributes as well. Whether we like it or not, we are going to be a lot like our parents. I'm a lot like my mom in a lot of ways. It would be very difficult to get mad at my mother because I'd be getting mad at the female version of who I am. It would be hard to get mad at my father too much because I imitated him my whole life, and part of who I am, both genetically and by rearing, is like him. We used to make fun of him because after dinner he'd get in his favorite easy chair, pop those feet up. Men, do you have one of those chairs where you can pop your feet up? One of those recliners, he'd pop it up, and he would invariably, he's not around for me to embarrass, he would invariably take his hand and slip it right under his belt. And he would rest with his hand, just barely under his belt, with his hand against his stomach, possibly to hold tight the big meal that my mother had made. We used to make fun of him for that. Oh, that's really goofy. And I talked to a couple other guys. My dad does the same thing. Oh, it's so goofy. Until one day, I was sitting in Florida after we'd had a big meal and finally got myself a recliner, popped that seat back, and as I was looking around watching TV, I glanced down and there was my hand right there in my belt. It scared me to death. I rushed to the mirror to see if I still looked like me and not looked like my dad, which I'm afraid would be an improvement, but still, I wanted to make sure that I was still me, but I'm an imitator. That's the way we are. We imitate. We tend to follow after. And that's what it means to be in God's image. We are created to follow after Him. Being created in His image is a moral issue. A moral issue in the New Testament when it talks about the restoration of the image of God since it's been fractured by sin. It talks to us about what it means to be put back together in holiness and righteousness and even knowledge. And our relationships have to do with being in the image of God. When God said, let's make Him in our image, part of being in God's image is that the ability we have as mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters, to gather together in relationship to each other. One other commentator says that being in the image of God means also that if we are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, we will enter into glory unlike any other creature that's ever been made. You see, we're special. We're not typical. And when the way God made us is special, not typical, He made us in a different way than He made raccoons, though we can act like raccoons from time to time. He has made us a different way than He has made other creatures because we are in His image. And He has put us together in a family, in God's institution. So the family is what it is because God made it that way. He is the creator of it. The family is not a result of evolution. I was a sociology major in college, which we used to call the major called pre-grad school. I was a sociology major in college, and I still had four or five classes in family life, and they tried to account for the origin of the family. I kept wanting to say, duh. But they had left out that portion, as some academics tend to do. Well, we can't talk about the spiritual. We can't talk about the creational. But as we know, if you don't talk about creation, you're not educated. If you don't understand the way God has created the world, no, we're not evolved. This is not an animal response. And you don't get to define family by yourself either. God created the family. It's bigger than us. And you, if you're a mother today, you are in an institution that God created specifically for a purpose, and you are better than the birds, better than the trees, and you're better than an animal evolved from the slime. You are God's crowning creation in your job as a mother. Gotta tell you that. God created the family. The second point I want to make with you is that the family has a calling from God. The family was not only created by God, it is a calling. And we see it very quickly in verse 26, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens, etc. And then he gets specific. In verse 28, he said he blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion. Moms, if you're moms, you've had kids before. You're fulfilling God's mandate for the family. That doesn't mean that every single family will have children. It doesn't even mean that every single individual will be married and put into a family. The New Testament, when it talks about family, includes singleness as an important aspect of family as well. But it is something that God has called us to do. Be fruitful and multiply. There is, as I have talked to just a few couples recently about, there is a growing disdain for children on behalf of couples. Don't do that. You see, if you're going to stick with God's approach to things, then you got to at least open up the door for that possibility. You see, because that's part of our purpose on this earth. Not just to make people to replace us out there in the hardware store. Not just give other people our jobs and to make sure that Tuscumbia doesn't get too small. But the job that we have is to replace ourselves in the spiritual sphere. And some of us, well, you know, I got four. I almost didn't know when to quit. But some of us really didn't like kids. And I'm not sure about kids. Oh, kids are great. Kids are great, and as I tell every young couple that I meet with, kids are great, even the bad ones. Even the bad kids are great. Oh, I've never had a bad kid. Oh, I won't hear many amens about that, will I? We're all born in sin, aren't we? You see, God has called us to multiply, and He said the way that we're going to have dominion is part of that multiplication. And mom, well, obviously, is a big part of that. Mom is a part of those children. In chapter 2, we see what part mom plays in verse 18. The Lord God said, it's not good that the man, this time, talking about a specific man, Adam, you might know that the Hebrew word for man is Adam, Adam. And so it can mean man or men or mankind. But in this case, it's really him. I will make a helper fit for him. You know, I know that some ladies have not particularly liked that phrase, that she is a helper, or using the old King James phrase, a help meet for their husband. Don't be afraid of the word. It's not like what I was. When I was in college, I got a job as a plumber's helper. A plumber's helper. Do you know what a plumber's helper does? It's not fit for discussion here in front of you right now. I can remember many a bathroom when we walk in and my head plumber would say, well, Randy, oh no, there weren't rubber gloves thick enough. Let me just tell you that. No, that's not the helper we're talking about. This specific Hebrew word is actually used of God. Of God being the helper of Israel. Now, any word that's used of God in two or three places in the Old Testament is a magnificent word, is a glorious word, is an uplifting word. And moms and wives, oh, that's what you are. You are like God to your family, and I hope that you feel a little bit of that today. You are like God to who we have been called to be. You're not the plumber's helper. You are the one that carries us through. You're a helper. And it says in my version, a helper fit for him. That means you are like the guy that many of you are sitting beside right now, but you're not like the guy. A helper fit is, if we follow the understanding of Scripture, is that he is like you, but he is not like you. He loves you, and he will help you, and he will help you in ways that you cannot do. Men, that you cannot do. You see, God has a calling for us. And what are we supposed to do? Take dominion over all the world. That's a war word in Hebrew. It means that there's a battle out there, and you mothers are part of the battle. You mothers are in the forefront of the battle. Those who are the single mothers among us are the women who fight the battle nearly alone. But she still has to fight that battle. We gather around single mothers. We gather around single fathers. We gather around anybody who has to fight the battle of family by themselves. But it's a tough thing. And women are specifically equipped by God for some of this battle. It's a battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. So what do? They bring God's dominion to this whole process. And how does that work? Well, theologians say the dominion involves recognition, order, rule, and reclamation. And so as quickly as I can, let's talk about that. Mothers help bring the recognition that God is in the world, that there's a real world out there where God is king and everything is defined by its relationship to Him. Moms see the real world when sometimes even dads can't get it. Now, honey, remember, is a sacred phrase. Now, honey, remember. Remember the real world. Remember God's out there. Remember values. Remember truth. Remember beauty. Recognition of God. Order. I'm not just talking about clean, but in the beginning, there was chaos in Genesis 1:1. Then He creates mankind. He creates us, and He says, y'all go get that stuff together out there. And that's what we're doing as mankind if we're following our godly calling. Sin has messed all that up. Sometimes men and women try to dominate society for their own benefits. No, no, no. We're supposed to bring God's order to it. Where there is chaos, we bring order. And when mama tells you to make your bed, she is doing what God's called her to do. So y'all hush up and make your bed. Moms not only bring recognition and order, but they bring the rule of God. The rule of God. You see, when Eve made the big mistake, it was because Adam and she weren't working together as a team. When she fell, and Adam fell with her, is they weren't together. They were divided and they were separated. No. To bring dominion, a family has to gather together and to recognize the rule of God in the family and to apply all things, apply the scripture to all things as it were to the family, but also reclamation. Reclamation. Have you ever watched these shows on TV? They frighten me, where people buy these old beat up houses. And you know, somebody goes in and they say, I've got a vision. I can imagine myself in this. I can imagine myself running out of most of those homes. I am not a very good fixer upper. But you can see occasionally, and I think sometimes occasionally it must be a mother who's saying this, I can see what this can become. I've got a vision for this. That's what mothers do. I've got a vision for this. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know that my kid just got a detention for the 57th time. And I had to go make sure that he didn't get thrown out of school. But I got a vision for that child. I've got an opportunity. I think there's something out there. I know he's 42 years old and hadn't grown up yet. I got a vision for this child, though. I've got a sense in which this child can be reclaimed. Mothers are following what many people call this, the cultural mandate, where Christ rules over everything, to redeem everything, to fix everything, to order everything, like Christ did when He came. Christ put God's dominion into all that He touched, and women and men in family, they follow Jesus and do the same thing. Well, there's a tall order. It's almost time to quit, isn't it? We could sing a hymn and almost be on time, but you look at your notes, there's a third point. And you're going to be happy to hear it, because I've given you a tall order. We've seen a big bunch of things that we need to do, but you need something to get there. Mothers, you need something, not an extra card. Oh, did you get a good card, guys? Did you get a good card? Not getting a card is a bad thing in my house. How about you? Did you get a card? We like to get a serious card and a funny card. We like to get two cards, you know. We're two card people. Cards are good. They don't need a card, men. In fact, you don't even need a card. What you need is the third thing. The family needs blessing from God. Look at verse 28, simple phrase. God bless them. God bless them. Notice he said that before he told them what to do. If I was going in the chronological order of the verses, I would have said, okay, God created, then God blessed, then God told them what to do. But I was saving this to last because the point is this, you can't do what God has called you to do without his blessing. Mothers, you can't be the mom that God's called you to be without his blessing. You need his blessing. You need the blessing of God in your life. Well, this blessing, some commentators think, is involved in being fruitful and multiplying, as God is going to have to bless us in order to have children. And we often call our babies a blessing, but it's not all the word means. The word means that when men and women come together, working together for his glory, and doing things the way he wants to do it, they need God's blessing. We need blessing to deal with kids. You know, we talked about saying amen once in a while. We need God's blessing to deal with our children. And those of you who have children who are 18 and you're thinking, I'm about done with them, that's a little point I want to make with you right there. You need blessing. You need blessing well into your 60s and 70s as your children, your grown children, don't always do what they're supposed to do or call you for advice that you don't even understand. There's a story about a little girl who wasn't particularly good when she was little, but she came to her mother later on in life as an adult, and she said, Mother, the most important thing you did for me was pray for me, and how you prayed for me and blessed me almost every day, right to my face. And the mother said, you know, I don't really remember that. When did you do it? Well, you did it. You said it just like this. God help you if you do that again. Men and women, families, are you begging God to help you? Are you begging God to help you? We need blessing to deal with kids. We need blessing to understand. We need blessing to understand. We need to be able to look into our children's lives, look into our parents' lives, look into our grandchildren's lives, and see how sin has often marred the way they do things. And you need to be able to apply spiritual solutions to common everyday problems, even a problem like disobedience. Husbands need to be able to see the sin in their own lives that creates difficulty in their marriage. You need blessing to understand. And you need the blessing of love. You need the blessing of love. Some of you, I dare say, don't love like you used to love. At least you don't think you do. But remember the biblical heart. Notice, to try to keep your attention, I'm using my hands even to show you a big heart. Isn't that nice? The top part of that heart is the mind. Decide in your mind that God has called you to love your spouse and love your kids. I believe some of you have stopped trying to love your wife because of the difficulties. Stop trying to love your husband because of the nasty habits. Stop trying to love your kids because of their disobedience. No, today, in your mind, God has called us to love. Love your husband. Love your wife. Love your kids. Love your mother and love your father. In your mind. Then go from your mind down to your will. Go love them. Do loving things to them. And then, if you do those two things, I believe God trickles it down to your affections. Mind, will, affections. Starts in the mind. Does God call you to love? He does. Will you go love? Whether you feel like it or not, you will. And will he begin to grow those feelings back? Oh, he will. He will. You need blessing for that, don't you? You need God for that, don't you? You need the blessing of God. Well, it's all tough, isn't it? It's all tough, but as I've told you, this is God's plan. It's his architecture. And if you don't know him today, it's not tough. It's not tough if you don't know Christ as your Savior. It's not tough if you don't recognize God over your family. It's not tough. It's impossible. This is an institution created by God. And God is supposed to be working in it. It is like trying to have an engine without oil or gasoline if you try to do family without God. It can't be done. It won't go. And so I'm calling on you today to do something that, well, if I might say, the birds can't do. And that is have a personal relationship with the one who created you. That is a relationship of give and take. To be like Him, made in His image, now created in the restoration of that image through coming to Jesus Christ. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. I'll even be so low as to say, if you just want your family fixed, use Jesus to get there. Well, as nasty as that sounds, once you get close enough to Him, you'll realize who He is. You'll figure it out. It's more about Him than it is about getting what you want. Come to Jesus Christ. Today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. What a wonderful time to come to Jesus on Mother's Day. Oh my, what a wonderful day to do that. And then further, I'd like to talk to Christians today. Mothers, I just want to let you know what a privilege it is to be a mother. It's not just biology, it's not just reproduction. It's part of God's plan. And you have done better than you think you have done. If I can say that, after having, happens every year, doesn't it? After having an incredible mother and being married to an incredible mother, if I could say one word to you, you did better than you thought you did. You did better than you thought you did. Some of them are just going to do what they want to do. Mamas, they're just going to do what they want to do. You did better than you thought you did. Little boy on the beach, when I was in Florida, church picnic on the beach, can't have one of those here. Had one there in Florida. We were walking on the beach and little boy on the beach, he's looking out to the sea and he's saying, where's the purpose? Where's the purpose? I thought, boy, that mama is going to be proud of that child working through the issues of life right there on a sunny day, until I figured out he was actually trying to say porpoise. But you know what? Being a pastor, and I'm the guy that knows everything, I'm supposed to go up to him and say, well, let's talk about this purpose. No. All I need to do is to say, go talk to your mama. Go talk to your mama. She'll tell you where the purpose is, and she'll ever tell you where the porpoises are too, probably. And she'll tell you, why is that? Because she's created in the image of God with a job ahead of her. Oh boy. Moms, keep your head up. Focus on your task. And beg God for a blessing. Let's pray. Oh God, our Father, we ask You that You would come near us. And that You would give us blessing. Father, what a display of wonderful mothers I have in front of me today. And Father, I know there are some that are not here because they've run off to visit their mothers. And Father, we ask You that in some way, each one of them would be encouraged today. Encouraged that they are unusual, created by God. They've got a task, as each one of us do, but this task can come under the blessing of God. Father, give them blessing today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.